All right, Rabbi Ossai, so we're going to start the third parak of Maseches Makos, and one of the goals here is we're going to learn a lot of new concepts and a lot of new ideas that perhaps you're not familiar with, and that's part of one of the challenges over here, and I think there's a lot to get done. So we're going to learn the Mishnah word for word. I'm going to read the whole Mishnah. We're going to start to work on some of the issues that are present in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells us, Ve'elu hein halokin. So, Rabbi Ossai, right at the bat, I'm just going to raise an issue, and that is, what's the name of this Masechet? Makos. So, where should the Masechet have begun?
Here.
The Masechet should have begun here. This is the proper place for the Masechet to begin, and in fact, who is bothered by how the Masechet does begin? How does Masechet begin? It begins with Adam Zomer. It begins with Ketzad Ha'eden Nasim Zomen. What Masechet are we in? Masechet Makos. So why are we starting with Ketzad Ha'eden Nasim Zomen? That's a weird way to start. And then what's the second parak? How does the second parak begin? Are Mikla. Elu Hein Ha Golan. These are the ones who go to Gauls. What Masechet are we learning? Masechet Makos. Really, the Masechet should begin over here. And indeed, the Gemara is a little bit bothered by why the Masechet begins where it does begin. The Gemara is already bothered on Beis Amud Aleph. You get to Beis Amud Aleph, and you'll see the Gemara is already asking that question. Why does the Gemara begin over there? Because really, Masechet Sanhedrin is Masechet Makos is a continuation of Masechet Sanhedrin. And Masechet Sanhedrin, the last Mishnah of the penultimate Perek in Masechet. Do me a favor, that thing is distracting me. So the penultimate Mishnah, the second to last parak in Masechet Sanhedrin, the last Mishnah deals with an unusual case, and an unusual case of an onesh. So the Gemara basically Masechet Sanhedrin, and then there's this thing called Perek Chelek. What is Perek Chelek about? That Perek Chelek is like this kind of standalone Perek of Masechet Sanhedrin, which is really probably not classic Masechet Sanhedrin. Masechet Sanhedrin really will end at the 11th Perek. Then there's this obscure Perek called Perek Chelek, which is a unique Perek, which is the 12th Perek. We're not going to count that. And the Gemara is basically, Makos and Sanhedrin were essentially one Masechet. Just like what other big, big, fat Masechets were one Masechet? The Bavas. The Bavas were one big Masechet. Sanhedrin, Makos really one Masechet. And the first Perek of Masechet Makos is really a continuation of Masechet Sanhedrin. What is one of the topics in the first Mishnah in Masechet Makos? It says Ketzei Mamsim Zom. What's one of the cases? Ben Grusha and Chalutz. What's the second case? Galus. So once the Mishnah started talking about Galus, the second parak begins and completes the conversation about Galus, and then we get to Elohein Alokin, and Elohein Alokin really, really is what I would posit is Masechet Makos. It's the beginning of Masechet Makos. So someone I asked the question right at the back, why are we starting with the third parak? And I'm going to answer that question with, we're really starting with the first parak. This is the beginning of Masechet Makos. This is Masechet Makos. What's the Masechet called? Makos. Elohein Ha? Lokin. These are the ones who get Makos. Notice the first letter of the Mishnah. What's the first letter of the Mishnah? It's a ve'elu. But look at Rashi. Elu. So very well could be that the ve'elu, why does it say ve'elu? Because we had in the second parak elu hein ha'golin, ve'elu hein ha'lokin, and these are the ones that get Malkus. But Rashi's go-reis is elu hein ha'lokin, which again is suggested that maybe this indeed is the beginning, or this is really the core of Masechet Makos. I'm not saying yes or no, whether historically, I haven't done the research, whether this really is the beginning of Masechet Makos, but logically speaking, this is the beginning of Masechet Makos. The first and second problem are really standalone topics, separate and distinct. Yes?
What did Sanhedrin
mean? It ends in there's the 11th parak, which is really the end, and then there's Tchelek, which is a standalone kind of parak, which is really not classic Masechet Sanhedrin.
What's in the end of the 11th parak?
Is Zomame Bas Kohen, the case of Zomame Bas Kohen. You'll see tonight when you get to Beis Amud Aleph. That's a really introduction to Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, now, the word Elu Hein Halokin, does that sound like that this Mishnah is the exhaustive list of Malkus, or these are just like a smattering of examples? When I say Elu Hein Halokin, what does that sound like? It sounds like an exhaustive list. And is this an exhaustive list? So the Mefarshim right off the bat, you look at Rashi, and Tosis, and the Meiri, right at the bat, they say this is not an exhaustive list. And therefore, you're going to have to ask the question, so why then are these identified in the Mishnah if it's not an exhaustive list? How many total Averos do you get Malkus for? 207. That's a lot. How many Lav Mar are there in the Torah? 365 Lavim in the Torah. Of the 365 Lavim in the Torah, 207 of them you get Malkus for. Okay? So these are the ones in the list. Let's just read the Mishnah, and then we'll go into Rashi a little Tosis, a little Meiri. The Eloin Alokin. Habal Achos Al Achos Aviv Al Achos Imo Al Achos Ishto Al Eishes Achiv Al Eishes Ache Aviv Va'al Hanida. What do these examples have all in common? If we could categorize them in one or two kind of descriptive words, what are these? These are categories of Arayos, correct? With a further category. Is this the exhaustive list of Arayos? No. So what characterizes all of these Arayos? They're all what? They're all Chayve Krisis. These are Chayve Krisis. These are all Arayos that are Chayve Krisis. And you get what? You get Malkus. So if a person's Boel Es Anida, what's his Onesh? Kares. If there are Edim and Hasra, then he'll get Malkus. And so too with Habo Alachoso, etc. Okay. Then the Mishnah tells, Almana Lekoin Gadol, Ugrusha Vechalutza Lekoin Hedya. So an Almana is not allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol, and a Grusha Vechalutza are also to a Kohen Hedya. Can a Grusha marry a Kohen Gadol?
No.
Of course not. Because a Kavachom. Right. Okay. Fine. Mamzeres unesina li Yisrael, bas Yisrael unesin ula mamzer. So again, these are part of the world of various prohibited relationships. And nesina is a community called, Rashi says, the Givonim in Navi. They converted, but it was questionable, this, that. You're not allowed to marry a nesin, and a nesina cannot marry a Jew, mamzer, mamzeres, etc. Okay. Now the Mishnah tells us, almana ugrusha chayavin alav mishum shnei shemos. And grusha vechalutza ain't a chayv ela mishum echa bilvat. Now that's an important line, which we're going to spend the next year discussing. Okay, but just let's talk about it for a second. What does it mean? Almana vegrusha is chayv ela mishum shnei shemos. Go ahead.
It says in the Chumash, it says both almana and grusha separately.
Yeah. Therefore, what?
And therefore, they're different lam.
Therefore, what?
Meaning what?
If you marry a woman that
was with her husband and then got divorced from a second.
Okay, yeah, fair. An almana who is a grusha. In other words, how many bais abia? How many marriages took place over here?
Two.
What?
Well,
you're right.
One woman.
This Kohen is marrying one lady. This one lady is both an almana. She was widowed. And then she remarried someone, and from her second husband, she is a grusha. Now she has two shemos. What are her shemos? Almana ugrusha. And now a kohen marries this one woman. So for one marriage, so to speak, how many isurim are there going to be? There's going to be two isurim. And there's going to be, therefore, two sets of malchus. In contrast, if you have a woman who's both a grusha and a chalutza, how are you both a grusha and a chalutza? So she married a guy, he divorced her. So now she's got a shame grusha. Now she married someone else. He died. Had a brother, no kids. So, and the brother gave her chalitza. So now she's both a grusha and a chalutza. And now is she allowed to marry a kohen? She's not allowed to marry a kohen. Ooh, says the Mishnah. How many malchus will she get? One malchus. Why one malchus? Because apparently this is only one shame. That's interesting and needs analysis.
She's not an almana?
She's not an almana.
No, but she is she's a widow from her second.
You're right, she's an almana. But we're not talking about a kohen gadol. We're talking about a kohen hedya. So kohen hedya who marries a grusha vechalutza is only going to be one set of malchus. Yafe. Okay. Now, as Noah Kimmel pointed out, there's a colon in most of your... is there a colon in your Gemaras?
Yeah.
There's a colon.
I have a period.
Okay, period. Okay. Okay, now why is... So as if whoever published this Gemara decided this would be a good place to, like, take a breath. why is this the place saying take a breath? And now we're going to move on to Hatamei Shachas HaKodesh. Because that's a new category. What's this? So what's this? Now, if we're stopping here with this category, what is this category, the first category representing? You said a mouthful. Just keep it simple. Where are all the cases over here? These are no, they're not all kares. They're not all kares. They're all matters of prohibited relationships. Prohibited male-female relationships. And that is this first category as the period, the colon in the Mishnah. The Mishnah goes on. Hatamei Shachas HaKodesh. What's that today saying? I just want to get pshat. You're Tamei and you ate Kodshim. You're Chayv Malkus. Habo El HaMikdash Tamei. What is that referring to? You walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you're Tamei. Uchel, what's the next word? Chelev. Vida. If you eat Chelev, the fats, what happens to the fats? The fats part of the cow is treif. What are the fats used for, ideally? They're used in the... That's what's the hakrav in the Beis HaMikdash is the chelev. The chelev for a hedyot, for a regular person, is aser. What's the iser if you eat chelev? What's the iser? The answer is kares. Is kares. It's chayve krisus. If you drink a bottle of dam, what's the din? Kares. But these are, as we'll see, chayve krisus also get malchus. So chelev v'dam. Vinosar, what's nosar? The carbon has to be by a certain time. Upigal. Pigal is when you bring a carbon, you have a foul machshava. And we'll discuss that. Vitame, if you bring a carbon bituma, vashochedu mala bachutz. What's that saying? Hashochedu mala bachutz. Shchita is supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash. The basa is supposed to be eaten where? In the either Beis HaMikdash or Yerushalayim, certain kachim. And if you take it where? You take it where? Outside, that gets malchus. Okay, good. Ha'ochel chametz ba'pesach. What's the onesh? Kares. But if it's chayve krisus, you also get malchus. Ha'osem alach b'yom ha'kipurim. Ha'osem alach b'yom ha'kipurim. What's the din? Kares and... Malchus. It's not both. But it's Chayve Krisus. And for Chayve Krisus, you get Malchus. If you have Eidim Ve Hasra. HaMefatem Es HaShemen. What's Mefatem Es HaShemen? So you replicate which oil? The Shemen HaMishcha. Yafeh. That's a lot. HaMefatem Es HaKtores. Same thing. The Hasach B'Shemen HaMishcha. What's Pshat? You anoint yourself, you need a little sunscreen. So you take some Shemen HaMishcha? No, that's a lav. Okay, fine. Ha'ochel nevelas treifos. What's a nevela? He's more precise. It's an animal that's kosher. That wasn't shech. So you eat the meat of a nevela or a treifa. What's a treifa? Also, it's a min that is kosher, but that has... Simane tarfus. Okay. What's the what does the Torah say about such a person? Nevela trefa. What's the onesh?
Kares.
Not kares. This is straight malchus. Straight malchus. There's no kares. We'll see in a second. Shkatzim uremasim. What is shkatzim uremasim?
Creepy
crawlies. Right. Bugs.
You cannot eat bugs.
You can't eat bugs. What? I know. I hope you didn't eat them.
Not yet.
Don't. Well, I'm not saying. I'm not passing. But yes, shkatzim and ramasim. There's a shkatzim ramasim are aser b'achila. There is the Yemenites have a mesorah, a very old mesorah of the Torah tells us this parsha Shmini. The Torah tells there are certain kinds of chagovin, grasshoppers, that are mutter to eat, certain kinds of locusts that are mutter to eat. Most of Jewry, Ashkenazi Jewry for sure, does not have a mesorah what those are. The Yemenites apparently do have a mesorah what those are. Years ago, I saw an article that caught my eye because of this Mishnah that in Seattle at the what's that big stadium they have, the Kingdome or something. They sell locust as if you want to go to the, you know, you can get ice cream, you can get a hot dog, you can get, and they apparently they crunch like potato chips. So there is a fellow in my neighborhood, Rabbi Natan Slifkin, who has a museum of Jewish natural history. Good luck. Listen, I'm not saying, ask your local rabbi, but don't make that local rabbi me. So shkatzim or ramasim are aser ba'achila, and if you eat shkatzim or ramasim, then you are chayiv malchus. Ochal tevel. What is tevel? What? What is tevel?
No.
It's untithed food. If you're oichel tevel, untithed food, or ma'aser sheni sold not the shumasa. What's that? I'm sorry, ma'aser rishon. Who gets ma'aser rishon? No, the lady. The lady gets ma'aser rishon, and the lady has to give what? Has to give not ten, has to give shumas ma'aser. He has to give his truma to the kohen. So therefore, if you have a lady, has ma'aser rishon. So it was tithed by the yisrael, but now the lady has to give truma to the kohen. So that if the lady eats it, that's malchus. Ma'aser sheni behekdesh shalom nifdu. What is that referring to? Ma'aser sheni. Are you allowed to eat ma'aser sheni?
Only in Yerushalayim.
Yes. Where in Yerushalayim? If you want to eat outside Yerushalayim, what do you have to do? You have to redeem it. If it was not redeemed, then it was eaten out of Yerushalayim or hekdesh out of Yerushalayim, not redeemed, you get malchus. Okay. That is the end of the list. And the Gemara has a very important conversation between Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim, which again is going to take us a shir or two to discuss, but we'll get to it when we get to the main sugya. Kama yochel menatel v'chayiv? How much do you have to eat of tevel to be chayiv for what?
Malchus.
So Rabbi Shimon says kolshin. Chacham say kezayis. Rabbi Shimon says, what do you mean? Why do you need a kezayis? After all, when you eat a single ant, is that a kezayis? No. And are you chayiv? Yes. So too, when you eat a small amount, you don't need a shear, you just need a kosher. What did Chacham say back? No, an ant is different. Why? Because it is kibriyasa. It's a full, whole entity. Masha'en kain, when it comes to a little fruit, that's not an entity, and therefore you need a shear. Says Rav Shimon, no, I hold that even a chita, a kernel, that's also an entity. That's a whole entity. You can be chayav for that as well. It's a very, very core and fundamental machlokas with very significant halacha lamaisa ramifications. Okay, that's our Mishnah. I want to spend the rest of the time really discussing the Me'iri a little bit, introducing some general concepts, and going by this. So the first Rashi in the Perek, Elohein Alokin, is bothered by which question? What's the question that Rashi is bothered by? Elu means what?
All.
Is the Mishnah mentioning all? No. So why did the Mishnah pick and choose? And what does Rashi say? Why did the Mishnah pick and choose? Because there is some chiddush in each and every one of these cases. There's some kind of chiddush, and then the Rashi, based on the Mishnah, will enumerate what exactly is the chiddush. And he says, the end of that Rashi says that the chen beruban yesh davar chadash. In most of them. I can find the chiddush, and that's why they're enumerated. The Ritva on this Mishnah goes through every single case and shows you there is some chiddush in the case. For example, Aman of a Grusha. What's the chiddush of Aman of a Grusha? That you can have one woman who's both Aman or Grusha. You do one Ma'is Aver, and you can be chayav two sets of Malkus. What's the chiddush of Grusha v'Chalutza? The opposite, that it's somehow one shame. What's the chiddush of the first, say, 7, 8, 9, 10 cases in the Mishnah, says Rashi, is that these are chayvei krisus, and chayvei krisus get malchus. What's not in this list? What's not in the list? For example, is malacha on Yom Kippur on the list? Yes. Is malacha on Shabbos on the list? Malacha on Shabbos not on the list. What's the difference between Malacha on Yom Kippur, which is on the list, and Malacha Shabbos not on the list? The answer is Shabbos is what we call, listen to, I just want to get terminology down. Shabbos we call Chayvei Misas Bezdin. Because if you violate Shabbos, you chayv what? Skila. You chayv Misas Bezdin. If you chayv Misas Bezdin, you're not going to be chayv what? You're not going to be chayv Malchus. Why? Because the Torah is already giving me a physical punishment that's meted out by a bezdin. So the physical punishment is skila. It's not going to be malchus. However, kares, who administers the punishment of kares? Hashem. So apparently, says the Mishnah, the chiddush of the Mishnah is, even though the Torah assigned a punishment to these particular acts, nevertheless, if you got Edim and Hasra'ah, then Bezin will also do what? Will also assign a punishment. And the first sugi in the Gemara is going to highlight that not everyone agrees with this Mishnah. This Mishnah is going to be according to Rabbi Akiva, but there are two other shitas out there. There is a shita of Rabbi Yishmael, which you will see in the Gemara, who says that even for Chayve Misas Bezdin, you're going to get what? You're going to get Malchus. Even for Chayve Misas Bezdin. And then there's going to be a shita of Rabbi Yitzchak, who says not even Chayve Krisos is going to get what? Is going to get Malchus. So you're going to have a panoply of the universe of shitas. According to Rabbi Akiva, which is our Mishnah, who gets Malchus, who doesn't get Malchus, Chayve Krisos, yes. Chayve Misos, no. According to Rabbi Yishmael, Chayve Krisos, yes. Chayve Misos, yes. And according to Rabbi Yitzchak, Chayve Misos, no. Chayve Krisos, no. And our Mishnah, therefore, is only according to Rabbi Akiva. That's going to be the first piece of Gemara that you're going to get. Okay. Now, I just want to mention quickly the Me'iri. Because I found the Me'iri just interesting and a very good Hagdom. So if I were to ask you, according to Rashi, why does it say Elohein Alokin if it's not an exhaustive list? What's the answer? Yeah, Tana Vishier, it's not an exhaustive list. We just mentioned the one that has Chidushim. We'll have to go through and see what the Chidushim are in each case. Fine. Says the Me'iri. The Me'iri says, when I see the word Elohein Halokin, you know what I see? An exhaustive list. Elo means exhaustive list. But says the Me'iri, I know also that how many Malkas are there? 207. And I counted them up. You don't got 207. Nowhere near 207. So what is going on? Even if I count all the other Mishnayos, it doesn't reach 207. So comes along the Me'iri and he says, when it says Elohein Halokin, what it's telling you is, these are the, insert word, not cases of Malkus, but rather categories of Malkus. And he says, look at the end of the first Me'iri, he says, Nireli Shabiro al Haminim velo al Ha'ishim. Can someone translate that? It's about the min. What does min mean? Species, categories, and not on the people that get Malkus. And wrote Salomar, HaProtim u'perish ha'incha Malkus bo al shlosha minim. There are three categories of cases that get Malkus. And then the Me'iri is going to elaborate on those three categories. Let's just do it outside. The Me'iri says, category number one that gets Malkus is Chayve Krisos. Chayve Krisos gets Malkus, and that's a lot of the cases in our Mishnah. How many total?
21.
Is that right?
It says Chav
Aleph?
Yeah.
Yes, it says Chav Aleph, right? 21. Vehasheni. And what's the second category? The second category is Alo Ta'aseh She'yesh Bo Misa Bidei Shamayim. If it's Alo Ta'aseh that has Misa Bidei Shamayim, what's the Onesh in this world?
Malchus.
So, they're not the same. They're not the same. In order to be Kares, the Torah has to use a certain terminology. What terminology do I have to say when it means kares? V'nichrasa. V'nichrasa is the key word for kares. You have other isurim that are misa bidei shamayim. For example, if a zar eats truma, what's his punishment? Misa bidei shamayim. There are a total of, again, how many cases of krisos get malchus? 21. How many cases of misa bidei shamayim are there that get malchus? 18, Yurches, 39. I need help with the math. What's 207 minus 39?
168.
Okay, 168. Exactly, 168. What are the other 168 cases? When the Torah says, don't, and it doesn't enumerate a punishment. The catch-all is going to be what? Is going to be Malchus. is going to be Malkus. If it's a lav, and it doesn't say what the punishment is, the answer is Malkus. Okay? And that, he says, is your dominant case, and that's going to be, wow. That is, says the Meiri, a case of a lota se levad, lo karis lo misa, vi shiyesh bo maisa, kigon, almana lo kohen gadol. Almana marries a kohen gadol. What's the answer? Is it karis? No. Torah says, don't marry a kohen gadol, don't marry an almana. So the answer is, lo yikach, the answer is, to lav greda, malchus. Ha korea karcha. What is korea karcha? We'll see that mission later on. What? If you rip your hair out, you bald yourself because of mourning. So Gemara says, halav. Does it tell you what punishment is? No, you get malchus. So that minion, if you shave with a razor, Torah says you're not allowed to shave with a razor. If you did, what's the din? Malchus. If you put on a dress, lo silbash gever simas isha, does it tell you punishment? What's the punishment? Malchus. Now, does that mean every single time Torah says don't do something, you get Malchus? There are some exceptions. What are the exceptions? So now again, just in terminology and things you need to know. So he says, avalav she'ein bo maisa. If the nature of the lav is a lav she'ein bo maisa, we paskin ein lokin alav. You don't get Malchus. Could someone give me an example of a lav she'ein bo maisa she'ein lokin alav? Lashon hara. Good. Lashon hara is a lav shema maisa, meaning dibur is not called a maisa, ain't lokin alav. Good. Give me another example. Keep it avim is an aseh. That's not a lo tase. Lo sana brecha eight sheker. Very good. Don't testify falsely. Lav shema maisa. Give me a lav that doesn't even have dibur as a lo sachmod. Very good. Lo sachmod is pashup shot as a lav she'ein bo maisa. Don't covet. How about this one? Bal yirah ba yimatzeh. What's Bal Yirah B'Yimatzeh? You're not allowed to own chametz on Pesach. How do you violate that iser? By not getting rid of your chametz, by not selling your chametz. So if you go into Pesach and what? And you have chametz, so lav sheh, l'chora, lav sheh.
Can you say yimatzeh is an action?
What?
Can you say yimatzeh is an action?
No, because you don't have to yimatzeh. It's just possessing it. It's just having it.
So
what happens to you is you violated a lav. What do you mean and? You don't get an onesh in this in Beis. There's no onesh Beis. Okay, now. Yeah. Oh, we'll get there. Yeah, yeah. So now the Mishnah goes, the Gemara, the Amiri goes on. Chutz mishlosha. There are three exceptions to this rule. We're not going to get into this in detail, but nizba, if you do a certain kind of shvua, meimar is tmura. Does anyone know what tmura means? All right, you'll learn about tmura. And mekal eschavera. If you curse your friend, that is a dibur, and you still get malka. So there's three exceptions. Now, v'chein. Then the rest of the year I'm going to read inside. V'chein kol lav hanitan la'azharas misas bezdin ein lokin olav. If it's a lav shenitan la'azharas misas bezin. Again, those are like long words, but they mean a very simple thing. What is he saying? If it's a lav, for which the onesh is misa, what kind of misa? Misas bezin ain't lokanov. Why not? Now this is, he's giving away a secret. Why not? Share risha achas atamachavi atamachavi shtei rishoyos. Because bezin can only do what? Punish. Once, not twice. So if you did one Aveira, and it's Chayav Mises Bezin, it's not going to be Chayav Malkus. Why? Mishum Risha Achazat Machayavit Machayav Mishum? Mishum? Shtei Rishayos. Now, is that going to be a problem with our case of Grusha, the Amana of Grusha? What's he saying over here? If you did an Aveira, give me an example, you're Michal Shabbos. Do you get Malkus?
No.
No, why not? Because Mishum Risha Achas Atamachav Yatamachav Mishum Shtei Rishayos. What does that mean? Bezin is going to give you Misa, not Malkus. Because how many Aveiras did you do? You did one Aveira. So for one Aveira, you're going to only get one punishment. But when a Kohen marries an Amana Grusha, how many Aveiras did he do? He did two averas, there perhaps he can still get two punishments. Okay, now he says. Now, why is Kares different? Again, he's giving away a little bit of the secret. Why is Kares different? How many punishments are being administered if you get Malkus and Kares? So Lechora, two. Now, it's one in Beis Din, but it's one upstairs as well. So, again, he's going to tell us something interesting. Let's say I did tshuva. I was Mechal Yom Kippur, I did tshuva. Will I get Kares?
No.
I was Mechal Shabbos, and I did tshuva. Will I get Mises Beis Din?
Yes.
Answer is yes. Tshuva, Hashem is bochen klayos valev. Hashem knows what's on the inside. Is your tshuva real? Is it not real? Etc. He can exempt you from kares. So by kares is always subject to non-administration. But Beis Din, once you chayev Mises Beis Din, and now all of a sudden you became a big tzaddik. It changed your ways. Is Beis Din going to kill you? Apparently.
Pretty wild.
But that's what the Meiri tells. Again, based on the Gemara, we'll see. Aval b'tshuva, aval chavei kriz, chavei mises, bidei shamayim, ein kan reshayos, sharei ashayi hu lafki atzim ehen aidei tshuva. Ve'aval gada hashem yelo ha'v'tshuva, rei atam alkei. Ve'od. Okay, fine. And then he says the end. Are there any other examples of cases of lavim, pure, simple lavim, that you don't get malchus for? So far we have one simple lav, you don't get malchus for, lav she'ein bo, maisa. Any pure other simple lav, there are three more, they don't get malchus for. Pure, simple lav. Excellent. Lav shenitak la'ase. What is a lav shenitak la'ase? If a lav has an associated curative Ase, an associated curative ase. For example,
stealing.
You can't steal. How can you fix the problem? The heishves akzel asher gozer. Yafeh. We talk about bayir bay matzeh. You found chametz in your house. So on the one hand, lav shem b'mais. But can you also have, is there a curative ase?
Yes.
Tashbisu se'or mi bateicha. There's a mitzvah tashbisu. That cures the ase. That's called a lav hanitak la'ase. Which example in the Mishnah looks like a lav hanitak la'ase?
No,
and
sir.
What?
No, sir.
No, sir. How do you violate no, sir?
You leave over the carbon.
But then, isn't there an associated ase? Mm-hmm. What's that? Is to burn the nosa, but eishi sarei. So why is that not? Why is it in the Mishnah as a case of malchus? That's going to be what?
You're eating it.
That's correct. Ha'ochal nosa. You're right. He's right. Ha'ochal nosar is the iser in a chanami. Nosar, just nosar itself, is a lav ha nitak la'ase. Very good. Now we'll discuss the best sugya in this perek, which is going to take us a couple of weeks to get to, is going to be this tosug of lavanit glase. It is very rich and very, very fascinating. Last case that I want to bring up, and that is a case what's called lav shibichlolos. Lav shibichlolos. What is a lav shibichlolos? A lav shibichlolos, two more cases. Lav shibichlolos, case of lav shibichlolos is the following. You have a lav. But for whatever reason, we have a Masorah that this lav means a lot of different things. There's a pasuk that says, Lo sochal al hadam. You're not allowed to eat it. Al hadam. Very vague pasuk. And the Gemara has five different interpretations of what lav you're violating. Lo sochal al hadam. And indeed, we pass in all of them. So within this one lav, there are five separate and distinct isurim. For example, can you eat before davening? No. Lo sochal al adam. Can a Beis Din kill someone on a full stomach? No. Lo sochal al adam. Don't eat when you're killing someone, when you're about to kill someone in Bezdin. So one has nothing to do with the other. These are two separate isurim. One has nothing to do with the other. That's called a lav shibichlalos. It's like cloud, a group of isurim in this one lav. Do you get malchus for any of these?
No.
The day before davening, do you get malchus? You don't get malchus. Why? Because osoch al adam is what kind of lav? A lav shibichlalos. We'll see. Patience, my friends. Patience. Last case is what's called a lav hanitan letashlumin. There's certain lavim that you can also fix them by doing what? By paying money. And, for example, am I allowed to be mazik you?
No.
Can't be mazik you. Can I steal from you? I can't steal from you. How do I solve those problems? By paying. If it's solved by paying, then once again, lav hanitan letashlumin, gzela. Gneva, you can go pay back. Those are not called lav that you get malchus for. What? This is all in the Me'iri.
That doesn't fall under the first category?
It's not good question. Not necessarily. Look at the second to last line of the Me'iri. There's one case, the chen, third to last line. The chen, kol lav shenitik la'asei ve'efshal kaim ha'asei sheva, o shenitan le'tashlumin, o lav shebechlalos, bechol elu, ein lokan aleim, afilu hisibo le'malchus. Even if they gave you a saw and says, don't do it else, you're going to get malchus. You don't get malchus for these cases. Okay. I just want to make one baby point just to keep it moving. Okay? I'm just going to knock off Bayes in a second very quickly right now. Okay? I'm going to knock off Bayes. I told you, what's the case of Almana Grusha? Almana Grusha Kohen Gadol is what? Is Shtei Shema. So there's a interesting, look at Rashi. What does Rashi say? Is there Rashi here? Rashi Almana Ugrusha. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Almana Ugrusha. Where is it? I don't see it. Almana Ugrusha. Shinis Almana Me'ish Echad. Viniskarsha Me'ish Acher. Chayv Alav. How many Malkus? Shtei Malkus. Why? Because Mishum Shtei Shemos. Mishum Shtei Azharos. You have two psukim, one for almana, one for grusha. Two psukim. What? A pasuk. When it says azhara, azhara means the pasuk, the source in. Now, Rabbo said very quickly. I just want to show you there's a ritva over here. The ritva ba almana ukon gadol. And Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph says the Ritva. Avi Kain,
yeah.
You're a Kain, am I right?
Correct.
What as a Kain, you should know Hilchos Kuna very well, right?
Yeah.
So what pasuk teaches you that you're not allowed to? Are you allowed? You're allowed to marry an almana. Hashem. Can you marry a grusha?
No.
Can you marry a chalala?
No.
Maybe. It depends what a chalala means.
So the Torah tells us, listen to this pasuk. This is referring to a Kohen Gadol, but it's also going to be relevant to a Kohen Hedyot. I gave you the pasuk. Look at the pasuk. This is referring to a Kohen Gadol, but the pasuk also says a parallel pasuk by Kohen Hedyot. Pasuk Perachav Ala Pasuk Yidal Almana Ugrusha Vichalala Vizona Es Ela Lo Yikach Ki Im Besula Me Amav Yikach Nisha. A Kohen Gadol must marry a who? A Besula. Can he marry an Almana?
No.
Can he marry a Grusha? Can he marry a Chalala? A chalala, first Mishnah Maseches Makos tells us, a chalala is if his father married a grusha. Was he allowed to? No. What's the offspring? The offspring is called a chalala. A chalala. Is a Kohen Gadol allowed to marry a chalala?
No.
Even though she's not a, she might be a basul and all that, but she's a chalala. And can he marry a zona? A zona. A zona is a complicated thing, but can't marry a zona either. Okay, that needs to be defined, but can't marry a zona. How many lavim are there? How many lavim are there in this pasuk?
Four.
So how many times does it say don't marry? Don't. It says once. It identifies four different women. Amana, Grusha, Zona, V'chalala. And then it says, Lo, Nikah. So we said, for example, I just want to highlight, what's the Mishnah doing over here? So Rashi said, the Mishnah is only identifying Chidushim. What's the Chidush over here? Is this called a Lav Shebichlalos? Is it? No, don't say that. That's not the right way to answer the question. Is it a lot? Does it look like a Lav Shebichlalos? It looks like a Lav Shebichlalos. Why does it look like a Lav Shebichlalos? Because how many Lavim are there?
One Lav.
One Lav. How many Isurim?
Four.
One Lav, four Isurim. Therefore, Lav Shebichlalos. Should you get Malchus? No. What's my other example, Lav Shebichlalos, that I just mentioned? The classic example, Sanhedrin Da Sama Gimel, Lo Sochu Al Ha Da. You know, before davening, Bezin can't kill on a full stomach, and there are a lot of other examples. There are the other Isurim. So it's one Lav, and how many? How many different Isurim? Multiple Isurim. Gemara says, Lav Shebichlalos. There, you don't get Malchus. Here, says the Mishnah, you're going to get Malchus. You're going to get Malchus. That's part of the Chiddush over here of Almana Ugrusha L'Kohen Gadol. It's all in one Pasuk. But no, it's called Shnei Shemos. Why is this not a Lav Shebichlalos? Why is it not a Lav Shebichlalos?
Same type of
this. Tighter. Better.
Why is it not? Psukim.
What?
Because there's two different psukim, though. Two other psukim.
How do you read this pasuk? I mean, the Ritva is telling you how to read the pasuk. Almana, Grusha, Zona, Vechalala, colon, Lo Yikach. Which means what? What is essentially, how do you really read the pasuk? Lo Yikach Almana, Lo Yikach Grusha, Lo Yikach Zona, Lo Yikach Halala. So even though it's all in one pasuk, the Lo Yikach is essentially going on each and every type of woman. And the Mela, is it a Lash of the Chalos? No. What about Lo Sochal Adam? Chazal gave five different interpretations to the words Lo Sochal Adam, all of which are true. You know what we call that? That's called Lash of the Chalos. But Amana Grusha Zona V'Chalal Lo Yikach, that's not called Lash of the Chalos because it's all in the pasuk. It's not an interpretation. It's not an interpretation. It's what the pasuk is saying.
And
maybe. Okay, I'm saying I'm not saying a fancy pshat. I think that is the pshat. All right, both sides. We'll stop here. This is the Ritva. We'll stop here. I'll pick it up. It's Hashem on the other side.